In the second book of God's matchless word, or the third chapter, Exodus 3, we'll begin reading in verse 11. Exodus 3. Moses said unto God, "Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt?" Now this is that record where Moses came upon a bush that burned and yet was not consumed by the fire. And voice came out of that bush, and it was God, and he gave Moses specific instruction, command, to go to Pharaoh and have Pharaoh set God's people, the children of Israel, free. Moses, of course, said, "Who am I that I should be the one to do this?" And you might remember that Moses had been rescued by Pharaoh's daughter and had been raised as Pharaoh's grandson, basically. So he had all of that, but he had to flee Egypt because he slew a man, and that man was one of the Egyptians. And he, God said, "Certainly, I will be with thee." Sort of like we heard in the manifestations a few moments ago. God is always with us. He promised Moses that he would be with him. "And this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God upon this mountain." And Moses said unto God, verse 13, "Behold, when I am come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of our fathers, the God of your fathers, hath sent me unto you, they shall say to me, What is his name? And what shall I say unto them?" There's a lot in a name. My name is Linus. And for the 65 years that I've been alive on planet Earth, or anywhere for that matter, not as though I was alive somewhere else, my 65 years, I have had people call me Linus more than Linus. My name is Linus, L-I-N-U-S. And as such, I am a father. I am a minister. I am a cousin. I am a husband. I am many things. And most men and most women could say the same. There are many things. You, man or woman, are many things, but you have a name. And my name is Linus. Moses said to God, "The children of Israel are going to ask your name." And the next verse, God said unto Moses, "I am that I am." And he said, "Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you." Now you will notice that if you have a King James version of the Bible, the words "I am that I am" are in all caps, as the second phrase "I am" is also in all caps. These words "I am," "that I am," are English words. They're not the Hebrew words which God spake unto Moses. Moses did not know English, did not speak English. God did not speak English to him. God spoke Hebrew to him. And the words "I am that I am," those are not God's name. That is what God is. You see, the Egyptians and other unbelieving nations had a god for everything. A god of fire, a god of water, a god of love, a god of the hunt, all of that. Matter of fact, today this hasn't changed much in our world. I recently read a little blurb about the UN and a particular meeting that was being held regarding global warming, of course. And the person, this woman who headed up the meeting, began by praying to the Mayan moon goddess, if you can believe that. That's right. So when God said, "I am that I am," tell him, "I am that I am," He was saying what he was a god of. God's reply, "I am that I am," or "I will become what I will become," means that God, God Almighty, is the God of everything and will be whatever he needs to be to meet the needs of man. That is the literal understanding of the Hebrew there. I will be what I need to be. I am God of all. I am God over all. And the reason he used that phrase to Moses is because Moses was about to go to the children of Israel, or on their behalf, to Pharaoh, and these Egyptians and all the other unbelieving nations had all these idols. A God for every situation. Little g, of course. I will be what I will be. Interestingly, or I should say curiously, Christians today have said that when Jesus said, "I am," that he meant that he was God. And they have taken this phrase, "I am," to mean that it's God. But there are many other individuals in the Word of God who say, "I am." In fact, Moses himself used those that term, "I am," in English, that is to say. God was telling Moses that he is the God of all. And then in verse 15, he said, "Moreover, thus thou shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob hath sent unto you, this is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations, Lord God, Lord." And then he goes on to expound his name as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, which of course those individuals would be well known for their faith in the Lord God Almighty, beginning with Abraham and then of course Isaac and later Jacob, who was renamed Israel, the man directly responsible for the development of the tribes of Israel, which sprang forth out of his 12 children and found themselves in Egypt because his sons sold their brother Joseph into slavery, and Joseph found himself in Egypt, and because he was such a wonderful man of faith, he wound up being second in command, Pharaoh. And so, big famine hit, and the rest of the children of Israel found themselves there, and many, many years passed, and they wound up in bondage because the current Pharaoh did not know Joseph, did not care about that, and was afraid that the children of Israel, who were populating Egypt profusely, that they would take over, and he would lose his position and the Egyptians would lose their strength and power. And so he subjected them to slavery. When Moses went back and referred to God Almighty as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they would know what he was talking about. Exodus 6 has seven names of God, or what previously I was taught, and I in turn taught it, that these are the seven redemptive names of God. But I no longer believe they're redemptive names. As I said, my name is Linus. I am a minister. Linus the minister. I am a teacher. Linus the teacher. I am a husband. Linus the husband. I am a father. Linus the father. I am a grandfather. Linus the grandfather. I am a cousin. Linus the cousin, or cousin Linus if you prefer. I am many things, but my name is Linus. God is many things. God is what he has to be, what he must be, he will be, whatever it needs to be to meet man's needs. And so, though previously I taught myself that these were redemptive names of God, I do not believe they are redemptive names. I believe they are qualities that God Almighty has. The seven names are Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Nissi, Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah Raha, Jehovah Titzkenu, and Jehovah Shema. Now the word Jehovah is a corruption of God's true name, his proper name, which is Yahweh. Yahweh Jireh, Yahweh, the Lord will provide, Genesis 22. As a husband, I need to provide. As a minister, I need to minister, right? My name is still Linus. Genesis 22. So these are qualities. These are things that God, in His Word, has singled out to show us that He does. Seven, of course, is spiritual perfection. Yahweh will provide. Genesis 22:14. Abraham called upon the name of the place, Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And then your margin probably reads something to the effect of the Lord will provide. The Lord that healeth thee, Exodus 15. That record, incidentally, that we looked at in Genesis 22 has to do with when God told Abraham to sacrifice Isaac, his son, and then provided a goat for the sacrifice. Exodus 15 and 26th verse. He said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and wilt give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. The Lord our banner, Exodus 17. God is many things, but he has one name. He has, of course, different appellations. My name is Linus. My last name is Mathis. You could call me Mr. Linus Mathis. You could call me Mr. Mathis. You could call me Reverend Linus Mathis. You could call me Reverend Mathis. You could call me the Reverend Mr. Linus Mathis. But you doesn't have to call me anything but Linus. My name is still Linus, even though I have appellations. God has appellations too. He is Almighty. He's our Lord. He's the King of the universe. He's many, many things. His name is still the same. The Lord our banner, Exodus 17:15. Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner. Most of these will have a marginal note in the majority of your Bibles. Judges 6. Judges 6. Verse 24. This is the Lord our peace. Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom unto this day. It is yet in Oprah of the Abiezrites. God's name is still Yahweh. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. We'll read it anyway. Jehovah Ra'ah. Psalm 23. It's a great psalm, by the way. Verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not what? Want. He takes care of you. Just like he told Moses, I am that I am. I will be what I need to be to see to your every need. For I will watch over thee, I will keep thee. The Lord our righteousness, Jeremiah 23. Tzidkenu. Jeremiah 23. Verse 6. And the days of Judah shall be, in his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name whereby he shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. Again, you'll notice it's in all caps. And I would like you to remember at all times that the name Jehovah is a corruption of Yahweh. Has to do with it started when the Jews were fearful that if they mispronounced God's name, they would have sinned. It sort of reminds me of the lashes. You know, you give one too many when you're punishing someone, and then you're subject to the same thing yourself. And so they would do one less so as not to have that happen. Anytime you act out of fear, you have a problem, right? And so the windup is, over time, this became corrupted. Yahweh, his name, became corrupted. My name is Linus, not Linus. So don't corrupt my name either, please. Even my wife calls me Linus sometimes. I have to correct her after 38, almost 39 years. L-I-N-U-S, Yahweh, not Jehovah. Jeremiah 23, verse 6, the Lord our righteousness. I am that I am. He will be what he needs to be. These are just some of the things he needs to be to take care of man. He needs to provide. He needs to heal. He's our banner. He's our peace, our shepherd, our righteousness, and he's present at all times. Ezekiel 48. Which again, didn't we hear that in the manifestations? Ezekiel 48. Last chapter in Ezekiel. Verse 35, last verse in Ezekiel. The roundabout 18,000 measures in the name of the city from that day shall be the Lord is there. Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is there. There are other characteristics of the Creator, of our God. Jehovah Elohim, the Lord thy God. Jehovah Elohim, the Most High. And Jehovah Olam, El, the Lord, the Everlasting God. And let's not forget El Shaddai. Deuteronomy 28, please. But his name is still Yahweh. These are characteristics. You could call them redemptive characteristics. But I don't like calling them redemptive names any longer. I think that's misleading. Deuteronomy 28. And I think it lacks accuracy. I think that for many, having been taught this, but never being taught that God has a proper name, confusion was allowed to enter. Or misunderstanding. Verse 58, latter part of the verse in Deuteronomy 58. If thou wilt observe to do all the words of the law that are written in the book, first part of the verse, that thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God. 92, Psalm 92. These are just a few of these wonderful characteristics, and that is what they are. They are characteristics. Redemptive, of course. Our God has a redemptive nature. That's why he brought forth his Son, the Redeemer, to even begin to understand all of the things he has done for us, will do for us, and does for us, requires quite a bit of thoughtfulness and research and study. There's so many, many, many things. These seven that I read, I would say, are probably the summation of all of the other things that would be sub-topics beneath each single one. I mean, to be healed could be spiritual, could be physical, could be emotional, right? For instance. To provide, I mean, could be a lot of things. You might need companionship, you might need food, you might need clothing. So provision, there are many things that are provided. To say Jehovah or Yahweh provides because he is what he needs to be to take care of us. He will be. He's God of all. So in his provision, what is your provision? What do you need? What does it take to provide for you? Do you need to be comforted? Do you need to have a friend? Do you need to have money in the bank to pay your bills? Whatever. So beneath the term provide, many subtopics. Many, many. In Psalm 92, verse 1, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. Most people don't know God's name. So how can you sing praises if you don't know his name? My name is Linus. How can you say, hi, Linus, if you don't know my name? How could you write me a letter if you don't know my name? Well, you simply can't, right? I suppose you could, but I hate letters like that. To whom it may concern? Dear sir, dear pastor. I love those. You know, dear church leader. You don't know me. Why are you sending this junk? That's how I view it. You got to know me. Don't you want to be known? You want to be known by your name, right? Some people don't like their names, but you got a name, right? Some people prefer nickname. But a name is important, isn't it? In Jeremiah. Oh, do we go to Genesis 21? Let's go there first, and then we'll go to Jeremiah. Genesis 21. Genesis 21. And verse 33. Abraham planted a grove in Beersheba and called there on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. And Jeremiah 31. Just looking at a smattering of these. Some of them, some of the verses we're looking at, show us a quality, one of God's redemptive qualities, if you will, toward us as humans, as His children. Jeremiah, did I tell you the chapter? No? I did tell you the chapter. Okay, Jeremiah 31. And some of them are just straightforward, His name. Verse 35. Jeremiah 31, 35. Thus saith the Lord, which giveth the sun for a light by day, the ordinance of the moon and of the stars for a light by night, which divided the sea, the waves thereof, the Lord of hosts is His name. The Lord of hosts is His name. Yahweh. Jeremiah 12. Jeremiah 12, verse 16, beginning of the verse, it shall come to pass, if they will diligently learn the ways of my people to swear by my name, the Lord liveth, as they taught my people to swear by Baal, then shall they be built in the midst of my people. But if they will not obey, I will utterly pluck up and destroy that nation, saith the Lord. Yahweh liveth. He lives. The Lord lives. Yahweh lives. He's the everlasting God. Look in Exodus again. Chapter 31. Just different things about Him. My name is Linus. I'm an expert on Malamutes. My name is still Linus. I'm a homeowner. My name is still Linus. I own a Harley. My name is still Linus. I have grandsons. I'm called Granddaddy. But my name is still Linus, even though I'm a granddaddy. The Lord that doth sanctify you. Verse 13. Speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, verily my Sabbaths you shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout all your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you, set you apart. Exodus 34, verse 14. Thou shalt worship no other god, for the Lord whose name is Jealous is a jealous God. Well, that's not His name. That's what He is. He will not have or tolerate idolatry. And yet, if you're worshiping a god by a different name, or you're making someone or something of a different name a god, like the Mayan moon goddess, whatever her name was supposed to be, I don't know. Looney, I guess. Looney Bin. Looney Bin, the moon goddess. I don't know. The point of it is, God does not tolerate that. Look in Exodus 34, verse 5. The Lord descended in the cloud and stood with Him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before Him and proclaimed the Lord God, gracious and merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, and upon the children's children unto the third and the fourth generation. And Moses made haste, bowed his head toward the ground, and worshipped, and said, If I have now found grace in thy sight, O Lord, let my Lord, I pray thee, go among us, for it is a stiff-necked people, and pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us for thine inheritance. Psalm 148. All these incredible things that God does for his people and has done for his people. All these things that he's done and is and will be. And his name is still Yahweh. Psalm 148, verse 13. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and the heaven. His name is excellent. Hallelujah. His name is excellent. If you don't know his name, how can you praise his name? If you don't think his name is Yahweh, or even if you think his name is Jehovah, you're praising the wrong name. Please don't call me Stanley or Ignatz, because Ignatz is not my name. My name is Linus. God's name is Yahweh. Look in Proverbs 18. Psalms, Proverbs. The 18th chapter and the 10th verse reads, The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. Isaiah 50. A lot of verses, huh? Aren't they awesome? Isn't this word of God magnificent? Isaiah 50, verse 10. Who among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of the servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light, let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. And Malachi chapter 3, last book in the Old Testament, last Old Testament prophet, verse 16. Pardon me. This is a wonderful verse. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. That's an interesting truth there, a little side note here, but of course, Malachi, there was 400 years between the death of Malachi and the birth of John the Baptist, and then another 30 years before John could officially be a prophet of the Lord God and the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. So there's a 400-year period of darkness. As with all periods of darkness, somebody doesn't just turn the light off. It gradually dims. We see that in our culture today. The light of truth has been dimming in so many different facets of culture and in the church. In fact, I was thinking this morning how little people understand the Word of God, and the reason is because nobody's teaching them. The church today is led by men and women who hold on to the doctrines and creeds of men rather than the greatness of God's magnificent Word. And so, for the most part, you have the blind leading the blind. Read an article about heresy recently, and the individual who wrote it, bless his heart, I'm sure he was well-meaning, has no idea what heresy is. A person who is a heretic is a person who has made the choice to choose a particular set of believing, a particular way. Someone who has what's called a party spirit. A simple definition would be like a politician who is partisan. A partisan politician is a heretic. Because you could talk to them, you could show facts, truth, till you're blue in the face from the other party and they won't hear it. That's why there will, in our nation today, there will be very few of what they call bipartisan efforts. Because when you have the left and the right, they both have party spirit. They're both heretic. They've chosen a sect for themselves. They have niched out the way. They've taken the option between one end of the spectrum and the other, and they're going to stick to it. Same thing is true for denominations, for religions. And sadly, Christianity falls deeply into that pit of heresy. But the understanding that most people have today of heresy has something to do with witchcraft, for instance, because of the modern corruption of the word heresy and heretic. It's a heresy is a person who's chosen a particular path in life, a particular way. That's why Paul said he was persecuted for heresy, for the way that he chose. And we know Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And a way is a road. It's a path. So people just don't understand it. How can you have any understanding without the light of God's Word? You can't. And so it doesn't just become dark like that. Somebody flips the light off in a room. It's a gradual dimming, like a rheostat. You all know what that is? Where you turn it down just a little at a time and the lights begin to dim. It's called a rheostat. It's an electronic device. It's been used in many, many things, from kitchen appliances to lights, to automobiles, to windshield wipers, you name it. And that's how it is spiritually. The light of God's Word is gradually being turned down. It's dim. It's real dim. At the time of Malachi the prophet, there were very few who had the light of God's Word, and then it dimmed and it was extinguished, and for over 400 years, no light of God's Word. Imagine that. During that time, they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. What ought we to be doing if that's what they did? And the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his what? His name. My name is still Linus. God's name is still Yahweh. How can you think upon a name you don't know? It's not Jesus. That's his son's name. You see, the first commandment, Deuteronomy 6, please, is the commandment upon which all others are based. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy 6, verse 4. Hear therefore, O Israel, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Now, this particular version of King James Bible that I have here fails to capitalize the word Lord. In other words, all caps. How many of you, just a show of hands, have all caps on the words Lord there in that verse? Everybody, pretty much? Except me, I don't have it. Because this person that did this chose not to do that. The reason for that is the King James translators, in order to indicate that this word Lord is a different word than master or sir, they put it in all caps. But it has become a very, very deceitful thing to today's Christian. The word Lord in English has been translated from the Hebrew word Yahweh, which is God's proper name. So it would read, Hear, O Israel, Yahweh our God is one Yahweh. He's one. And remember, this is the first commandment, the first and great commandment. Remember, the second commandment is, Thou shalt, like the first, love the neighbor as thyself. Our required response, expected and required response to this first commandment is, And thou shalt love Yahweh thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. The Jews call this the Shema, or the Shema. S-H-E-M-A. It is to them a mitzvah, or a commandment. They repeat this a number of times during the course of a day, and often end their speaking by saying, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, or Yahweh our God is one Yahweh. It is the centerpiece of their morning and evening services. As I said, many Bible versions, the word Lord is in, as above, as we just read, is in all caps. That is because of the Hebrew word used there. The word is God's proper name, Yahweh. My name is Linus. His name is Yahweh. His son's name is Jesus, or Yahshua, more properly, Hebrew. Jesus is Greek. Yahshua, or Joshua, is actually more accurate for the Lord Jesus Christ. This word, Yahweh, has been corrupted to the modern usage we know as Jehovah. All honest versions will translate the Hebrew word Yahweh as capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, to indicate that it is Yahweh, a proper name. They do so, again, with those capital letters. I believe Bullinger, Dr. Bullinger, addresses this in his companion Bible, but I haven't actually checked that recently. At any rate, literally, the Shema would be, Hear, O Israel, Yahweh, our God, is one. One verse among many. There are so many that give us His name. Today, this has been a corruption of the worship of God in Christianity because the well-meaning Christian who's not taught properly from the Scriptures sees the word Lord in the Old Testament and assumes that that is the same Lord as the Lord Jesus Christ. Because they see the word Lord, Lord is Lord is Lord. Well, in the New Testament, the word Lord is never translated from a word that's a proper name. It's kurios, which is transliterated into the Greek, into the English letters, K-U-R-I-O-S, kurios, which in Greek is the equivalent of sir or mister. So I would be kurios Linus Mathis. See, my name is still what? Linus. My name is not kurios. In the Old Testament, the word Lord is translated in most places when it's talking about God as his name, is from his name, Yahweh. That's his name. My name is Linus, his name is Yahweh. His son's name is Yahshua. Jesus, if you prefer, Christ is his appellation, his title, Messiah. For in Greek there is no really good translation of the Hebrew Mashiach. So we get Christos. One verse among many giving us God's name is Isaiah 42. Isaiah 42. And skip on down to verse 8. I am the Lord, that is my name. Now, I don't know how to make that any clearer for anybody. I don't think God could make it any clearer. The problem is the English. I am the Lord. That is my name. We know that salvation is contingent upon confessing Jesus as Lord. But we don't confess Jesus as Yahweh. We confess Him as Master, Lord, Sir, Jesus. He's in charge. It used to be the name Mr. or Sir. And I guess the Brits still use the term Lord, don't they, for the knighthood and all of that. It's an appellation of dignity, position, and honor. Jesus, Yahshua, is Lord. God is Yahweh. This English word is very, very, very deceptive, very misleading. Maybe that's a better way to say it. I am Yahweh. That is my name. And my glory I will not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. You know, when asked how to pray, here's what Jesus said. When his disciples asked him, look in Matthew. chapter 6, when his disciples, when the Lord Jesus Christ's disciples asked him how to pray. Verse 9, his response was, "After this manner, therefore, shall ye pray." Now, this is how he opened this. This manner of prayer. Not necessarily the exact same prayer, but here's how to pray. "After this manner shall you pray. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed or holy be thy" what? "Name." What is God's proper name? Yahweh. What is my proper name? Linus. What is your proper name? Well, you know that, right? Yours is Linus, too. One of the biggest mistakes I ever made. No, I'm only kidding. I love you. Wouldn't name you anything else, Ignatz. Look, what's in a name, right? God's name is Yahweh. How misleading to the Christian when not taught the truth of God's word. Hallowed or holy be thy name. In introducing the concept of God, our Father, Jesus did not forget how important God's proper name is. His name is Yahweh, and it is hallowed or holy. That's the fundamental that God's only begotten Son taught us. And it is in keeping with all the law and the prophets. When asked which commandment was the greatest, Jesus said, Matthew 12, if you go there, and we'll go to verse 28. I'm sorry, Mark 12. Couldn't read my note there, but that was a little odd. Mark 12. We could find the same truth in Matthew, but I had noted Mark. Mark 12, 28. One of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, perceiving he had answered them well, asked Jesus, "Which is the first commandment of all?" And Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." Now, let's stop there a moment before we read the rest, but most people think of the first and great commandment as, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength." However, that's only part of it. That's the response to it. The commandment is one God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Now, we know from the Old Testament, which is what Jesus was quoting, that that would be what the Jews today call the Shema. Hear, O Israel, Deuteronomy 6:4, Yahweh, our God, is one Yahweh. And that's what Jesus meant. He didn't speak English. He spoke a form of Hebrew that's known as Estrangulo-Aramaic, which is a bastardized form of Chaldee Hebrew, even as our English today is bastardized in so many ways. Hear, O Israel, Yahweh our God is one Yahweh. And in addition to him being one, here's your response, expected and required. Thou shalt love Yahweh, your God, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. This is the first commandment. The first thing we must know before we can love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength is He is one and His name is Yahweh, not Jesus. Otherwise, we miss the first and great commandment upon which all the law and the prophets hang. And by sheer logic, if you were to break any commandment, the one you don't want to break, not that you want to break any of them, but the first and great one would be the one to avoid, right? And yet, look at Christianity today. You even have an entire denomination, a rather large one, is considered cultist by some, but a rather large one that has chosen that corrupted version of Yahweh, Jehovah. It's all so ironic, isn't it? Somewhere along the line, the opening truths of this first and great commandment, the one upon which all the law and the prophets, in other words, the Old Testament, hang, has been overlooked. And that, even by the best and most learned. A bit curious, don't you think? My name is Linus. What's yours?